Psycho Shannon! Psycho Shannon! Psycho Shannon! It's my show!
Stuff with Shannon, stuff with Shannon. La la la. Yeah. Stuff with Shannon.
I saw a blink to my left.
What?
I saw a blink. There's a phone over here on the floor and it was blinking.
Oh, okay.
It creeped me out for a second. Shiny lights make me turn my head.
Shiny
things really get my attention. Can you tell?
Yeah, I have that problem too. My new phone does that. It blinks on the, like, where the flashlight part is when I get a text message.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have the same phone. You got to show me how to do that.
Yeah, you'll have to turn it on. But so then sometimes when it blinks when I'm not expecting it, I'm like, whoa, what was that?
Scares you, huh?
It does, because it's pretty bright.
I jumped pretty high and felt maybe a drop or two of pee come out of my pants once this morning. I don't know what happened here, but I wasn't expecting it. And it's pathetic. I really need to get myself together.
That's funny.
But I walked in the room a second ago and you said, oh my gosh, I got it. And I don't know what you got.
Okay. So remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you about how I'm anemic.
Yes.
So I hadn't really put two and two together on this, but. So, you know, everybody's been doing those DNA.
Yes.
My ancestry to see, you know, where you come from and blah, blah, blah. So my mom and dad have both done those tests separately. So I'm pretty good about, I don't need to do the, you know, where are my ancestors from, blah, blah, blah. Because my dad has done his and my mom has done hers.
Mm-hmm.
But on last year during Thanksgiving for Black Friday, one of the companies was doing a DNA, doing a sale or Black Friday sale on the DNA analysis for your health benefits. So to tell you what kind of things that you're predisposed to.
Right.
You know, diseases, whatever.
Yes.
So I thought that would be good to know, I think. I am a pretty healthy person. I don't get sick often. Uh-huh. I have a really strong immune system. My kids are pretty healthy. They may get one good strep or something a year, but they don't get a lot of colds or anything like that. So I thought, okay, I'll do that. It was about $40 cheaper than it normally was. I'm like, okay, great. So I sign up for it. You're supposed to get the results back in 6 to 8 weeks is what they say.
Okay.
6 weeks, eight
December,
weeks.
December, January.
10 weeks.
Oh.
12 weeks. So you can go on the website and look at it and it tells you like what stage, like we've received it, we're analyzing it, we're doing this, we're, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, mine was in the analysis stage for a really long time. So I get an email about the 3-month mark.
Okay.
And they say, hey, basically, there was not enough DNA in your saliva for us to, you know, properly analyze your stuff.
Specimen.
Right. So, okay. So what we'll do is we'll send you another one so you can do it again. Okay, great. Send it to me because I'm really interested in this. Like long term, especially with the anemia, I've been having some memory loss. And so that kind of low key concerned me. Like, is this like a
Hashimoto's?
Or an early onset Alzheimer's? Is this something I need to be concerned about? So they send me the new kit. Spit in the thing, shake it up. I add some extra spit just in case, you know, make sure I follow the directions,
right.
Send it back. This weekend, I got another email that said, second time around, still not enough DNA in your saliva.
They need your blood.
How crazy is that?
I have no idea. I'm assuming pretty crazy.
Enough DNA in two, like.
Did they make you pay for the second one?
No, they sent it back to me. And so they've agreed to give me a refund, less shipping and handling, which I'm sure that's going to be a good
most
chunk
of
the
it,
money.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm thinking. I could commit a crime and get away with it.
That makes complete sense to me.
So I just need somebody who's going to pay me to do that.
I have a few people that I can think of that I would pay you to trip or prank.
There's no DNA traceable. I am they just have no, there's no DNA record for me.
Huh. That's interesting. So I wonder what's wrong with you.
I don't know.
I wonder if that's something you need to be worried about. No DNA in your saliva.
Isn't that the truth?
Seriously.
That may lead into this whole anemia thing that I'm dealing with.
But see, here's the thing. This is going to get into some serious talk for a second, okay? I don't know what it is about the medical community's need for more stuff. Because, and I think I might have told you about this. I don't remember. But so I have a, I took a picture of my neck one day. Mm-hmm. It had like an obvious lump in it.
Okay.
Didn't know what was going on. And shortly after that, I went to my doctor. He sends me to a endocrinologist person, and she drains it.
Okay.
It's a thyroid nodule. No big deal. Most people have them. She biopsied it. Not pleasant, but it had to be done. And she calls me a few weeks later or a few days later, and she's like, okay, so here's the deal. So you have mutated cells in your biopsy, which gives us two options. You can either wait and have it retested in 6 months, or we can go ahead and do surgery to remove your thyroid because all signs lead to cancer, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
So I opted to wait.
Okay.
Because it's thyroid cancer, treatable, not that big of a deal if that's what it is. And then I go back maybe in January to get it biopsied again.
Okay.
And so it's a full-on production. The first time I was just in this endocrinologist doctor's office. It's just her with her giant needle taking the stuff out of my throat. I handled it okay.
Okay.
The second one was pretty much a surgery with no anesthesia.
Okay.
There were probably about seven people in the room doing it.
Oh, wow.
And because of where it is on my thyroid, they had to call in like an actual surgeon to come in and try and get stuff out of it to biopsy.
Wow.
Because it's right against my carotid artery.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so I guess if you accidentally poke that or something, it could be bad. And so this guy comes in and they put lidocaine in my neck to numb it.
Okay.
And he starts going in for the biopsy, but he can't get it. He can't just go in, draw back, and get something. He's got to go all the way through, poke both sides, and while he's coming back out, draw stuff out of it. Does this probably about six or seven times.
Oh, no. And you're awake the whole time?
I'm awake with local anesthetic. And because of, I guess because of where it is, it was, it felt like I had needles shooting into my ear canal. I can't even explain the pain that this thing caused.
They should have put you like at least in a dream sleep.
They didn't. And so I was crying. I was literally crying on the table, but I couldn't move and cry. So it was like this silent cry where you can't make sounds, you can't move, all the just tears are coming out of my, and I can't move my arms to wipe the tears away.
So
he does it. They give me a little more lidocaine. It's a little bit less tolerable. He finishes it up. Probably took about 45 minutes of them sticking the needle in and out. And then at the end of it, he looks at me and he's like, well, I don't think we were able to get enough cells to really test it to tell you whether or not there's calcification. And so you're just going to have to wait for it to fill back up and get it drained again.
Oh, wow.
So I possibly have been living with thyroid cancer for a little over a year now. But there's really not a way to tell because he couldn't get enough stuff out to check it.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you hear me clearing my throat and if you hear my voice kind of raspy, it's because I got something on my throat that's not supposed to be there. And I don't know whether or not I should just get it removed at this point or not.
Wow.
But that was a $3,500 test that got absolutely nothing. They didn't get anything.
Mm-mm.
And all of it's out of pocket. So I owe the hospital like $3,500 for nothing.
Wow.
So I'm not very happy about that.
If so, do you have like a deductible that you have to meet or how does
it's
that work?
High. It's 6,000.
Then I would do the surgery now. I would have it removed.
Well, I think
because if you wait till January, then you're starting all over it. At least this way you hit your deductible.
I think probably when I get a little bit of a break in my schedule, that's probably what I'll end up doing.
Yeah. Just do it and do it this year.
It's too much.
Because you know that you're going to end up having it removed. You're going to wait till January and you have to pay for it all over again.
Thanks for being so optimistic.
No, I just know.
It's frustrating though, isn't
it?
It is. When they gave me the expected cost when I first got there, it was like $700. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to throw up then. And I flat out told the lady, I was like, look, they didn't mention this to me when we scheduled this. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that. So you can just take me off the schedule.
Right.
And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Pay it out, blah, blah, blah. I know that you were just here last week for something. And I don't remember what that was. But you were just here last week for something. And so this isn't correct. So I get the bill, and it's over $3,500, which is a huge gap, a huge difference between the $800 I expected. I wanted to pass out. I'm thinking to myself, is it really that big of a deal? Like, that's an actual conversation I had with nurses. If it is cancerous, is it really that big of a deal?
You are not the first person, I promise, to think that in your head. Like, how important is it really for this medical procedure? Because it's so ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, but apparently if you just leave it,
it can
spread to other places, and then it's bad.
Yeah.
So you might as well get it while it's just there.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a health update from the brain tumor girl, looks like I might have a thyroid tumor now, and just wait and see how that goes. And I'm so sorry I hijacked your DNA story, but it's the same. It's so frustrating.
Well, but it's okay. So here's the thing. So I have this other thing, not me personally, but staying in line with the medical topic.
Uh-huh.
So Miles had been having these stomach aches.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of random, off and on, for several months.
Right.
And really, I thought they were kind of anxiety related.
Mm-hmm.
And so being the stellar mom that I am, I'm like, look, dude, you got to suck it up. Because they would happen at random times. Like, he's playing soccer, and then all of a sudden his stomach hurts. So I'm thinking, like, he just doesn't want to play soccer right now. And they would come on really suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he'd be singing at choir at church. And, you know, halfway through mass, he'd be like, he's looking at me, my stomach hurts. I'm like, you have 30 minutes, suck it up. It's going to be fine. And so they would just randomly happen. So I guess about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, I got a couple of messages from his teacher at school. And she's like, Miles' stomach, you know, he complained of a stomach ache today. I sent him down to the nurse. The nurse, you know, I don't know, gave him a peppermint or whatever. But they started to become more frequent and more severe, it seemed like. Uh-huh. So, like, he would wake up in the morning and he would have a stomach ache. And I'm like, dude, like, you just got to push through.
Yeah.
I can't have you, you know, at home all day. I've got other stuff I've got to do.
Who cares if there's a baby arm coming out of your belly?
Yeah, pretty
much. Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah. But here's the weird thing. So he didn't have any other symptoms. Mm-hmm. It's just a stomach ache.
Okay.
So that's really why I thought it was anxiety related, because he's got some anxiety about just kind of random things.
I was the same kid. I get
it. And so I'm like, work it out, whatever. So one day, it was like a Monday, and he apparently had gone to the nurse that day, but he didn't tell me. So the next day, he'd gone to the nurse and had a hair appointment that I could not cancel, because it was going to cost me, you know, the amount of the appointment, which is very expensive. And so his teacher messages me like at 9:30, and I have to be in Dallas at 10.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, he's complaining of a stomach ache. I sent him down yesterday, you know, whatever. I'm like, ugh. So I talked to him on the phone. I'm like, bud, you gotta push through. Okay. You can do this. So I run up to the school. I give him some Pepto on the down low, cause you know, you're not supposed to do that. I run up to the school. I give him some Pepto. I head out to Dallas to get my hair done. I had been home 10 minutes and the nurse calls me and she's like, he's down here. It's like noon. This is the second time he's been down here today. He's not one of my regulars. You know, he's not a big complainer. I don't see him a lot. You know, if he does come down here, I patch him up and send him back. He's good. She's like, he really doesn't feel well. I said, okay. So I go pick him up. He lays around for, you know, a couple of hours, and then out of the middle of nowhere, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bouncing off the walls, just perfect. So we have this goes on and on kind of, you know, a couple of weeks. So one day he wakes up. He's like, oh, my stomach hurts. Okay. 10 minutes later, he is doubled over in pain.
Yeah.
Like, just can't. I'm like, okay. So we had taken him a couple of days before that. We had taken him to the doctor. And his pediatrician said, let's try to take him off dairy and see if that makes a difference. But he's never had any food sensitivities or anything like that. So I didn't really think that that would make a difference, but we tried it. That was maybe on a Thursday. Over the weekend, he has no dairy, but he still got some really severe pain. So that morning, he wakes up doubled over. I take him to urgent care. They do an x-ray. He's not constipated. He doesn't have any, you know, they don't see anything. So they refer
his appendix.
Us. They do the appendix thing. Apparently, if you can jump up and down, it's not appendicitis.
Really?
That's how they test for that.
Oh, wow.
That's like the initial.
That's come a long way.
Yeah. So if you can jump up and down, it's not appendicitis.
Huh.
Interesting little fact there.
Thanks.
So our pediatrician refers us to a GI who cannot get us in for a month.
Right.
That's not going to work. So I'm on a mom board. They all recommend this one doctor. He gets us in the next day.
Yes.
It's like amazing. So we head out there. They do, you know, he talks. He mostly just talks to us. He's fantastic. The most, you know, he's got this fantastic bedside manner. He's great with kids. He's great with the mom. He listens. He doesn't rush you. Mm-hmm. And so he asks all these questions and he says, based on what you've told me, he said, and this is obviously a preliminary, you know, diagnosis. And we'll do some other tests and see what happens. But I think what he has is called functional abdominal pain. Okay, that is. So basically it's IBS in kids, but it presents without the constipation and diarrhea that it does that presents with adults.
Really?
And there's no, he likened it to migraines. So there's really no rhyme or reason, not necessarily triggered by anything, nothing that he eats, nothing that situational. Now, there could be some element of that, but it can just pop up randomly for no reason at all.
Really?
And that's what Miles has. We've now done the x-ray. We've done blood work. We've done ultrasound. He just has bad stomach aches.
Well, at least you know for sure.
Yeah. But in my head, I'm thinking, and this is what the doctor told me. He said, I applaud you for bringing him in because a lot of parents don't, because it doesn't, there are no other symptoms other than just a stomach ache.
Right.
And he said, a lot of parents think that their kids are just making it up. And he says, I have it. And I had it as a kid. And my parents thought I was making it up.
Really?
So how, as a parent, you always have to kind of navigate how severe when your kid is, you know, complaining about my head hurts, or my kids are notorious for my head hurts, or I fell, or blah, blah, blah. And my standard response is, what do you want me to do about that?
Right.
I'm not going to give you medicine every time something hurts. Jude is pretty easy. I can give him a kiss and he keeps it moving. Sydney doesn't really, she only complains like, when there's something she doesn't want to do, like go to, but she is notoriously aches and pains at bedtime.
Yeah.
Go to bed, sleep it off. Miles, you never know with him because he's an anxious child and he needs that. He's got that middle child.
I get it. I am also the middle child.
So I go back and forth with him, work it out already. But
it is tough.
Now I sort of feel bad, not completely like super guilty about it because we did get it treated, but how long has this kid been? At one point I asked him, so when we were at urgent care that day, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is your pain right now? And he said, a 5. I said, okay, so this morning when you woke up and it hurt really, really bad, how bad was the pain? He said, about an 8.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, so when was the last time, this is a Tuesday, when was the last time you remember your stomach not hurting? Thursday?
Aw.
I'm like, bud, you have to tell mom these things. I'm not a mind reader, man. You
so
gotta.
You can tell him to suck it up and plow through?
I know. So I said, well, when it just kind of hurt. So you've had a stomach ache for 5 days and you've kind of been hanging out and doing whatever. So how bad does it hurt then? About a 3. So basically, he has a level 3 stomachache all the time. And he's just learned to deal with it.
Thanks to you.
I know, because I'm a stellar mom.
That stuff is so... I was the same anxious kid growing up. And mine would come... I would throw up. Mm-hmm. And I would... this is embarrassing. But I would throw up so much that I think it just became part of my routine.
Yeah.
But at one point, I think it was in sixth grade, I was having really, really bad pains like that. Like, couldn't walk pains, mm-hmm. couldn't do anything pains. And it got to the point where they thought that my appendix had ruptured. Uh-huh. I was having an appendicitis. And so I was home, and my mom rushes from work to come get me and take me to the ER. And we get there, and come to find out, I was just constipated. And I don't know how they didn't realize it, but I was so constipated that it caused me to have pain to the point that they thought it was appendicitis.
Man.
So my poor mother had to take me to the stupid emergency room thinking I was dying.
Well, but that's
for
what
you... X-lax.
And I think that's part of it that's so difficult when you have kids and you're trying to navigate how they feel, because they don't really have the words or to express... You know, when you're a kid, it hurts. Everything just hurts.
Right.
You don't know really. You haven't lived long enough to be able to give you levels of. So he's just hurting. I mean, he has a stomach ache. That's the same as he, you know, bumped into a wall or hit his knee on the desk.
Yeah.
Or it all just hurts. So we finally got him on a medication that seems to be working. And in fact, today was a rough day for him this morning because it seems to be working. He's supposed to be taking it 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's, you know, he's had it in his system for some time now, so it's starting to last a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So he took it yesterday when he got up, but then he missed yesterday afternoon.
Right.
And then last night, and I wasn't on it, and he forgot. And so this morning he wakes up and just doubled over in pain.
Aww.
So I gave him the medicine, but I'm half expecting him to get a call from his teacher or the nurse to say that he didn't, because it hasn't, you know, he lost 2 days or
right.
2
doses
of
yeah.
keeping it in his system.
Yeah.
So, but I can tell, I told my husband, this is terrible. I told my husband, I can tell he's feeling better because he's bugging the crap out of me.
It's true. That is true.
He is back to normal because he's driving me nuts again, just on top of me and asking me 8,000 questions and typical 8-year-old boy behavior that just, 8-year-old boy behavior.
Well, I hope you learned your lesson.
Yes.
Telling him to suck it up and plow through.
And we're that much closer to hitting our deductibles. So if anybody comes up with any major medical issues, I need it to happen before December.
Yeah. Now is the time
so
to do it.
You can knock it out of the park.
I feel your pain.
See you later, Radicator.
Guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Goodbye.